The external audit is proceeding very well this year. We are slated to be on schedule. They will be leaving the field December 31st. It's the slated date. That puts us maybe 2 months before earlier than prior, which would help us with that extra 30% cost that we had to pay this year that we hopefully will not incur next year. We've had a 100% submission of vouchers this year, which has never happened in my past history, where we found all documentation, so we were pretty proud of that. They have been giving us the findings or the potential areas for findings as they occur or as they go along, and we have been working with them to clear those up prior to even being presented to the Auditor General's office. So we are sure that the findings will go down. They will not go away, but the number will decrease, hopefully significantly this year. The most of it, I won't cover it all because it's all here, but I think that we've been doing a good job and we're looking forward to going forward for 2010 with our new leadership October 1st.
Any questions?
I have a comment.
I would just like to, as I was reading the board book here and I got to this section, I noticed under the university police section, when they were talking about campus safety and things of that nature, I would like to commend the police station for all of their work towards making themselves a lot more visible on campus. Just the visibility alone helps to increase campus safety. Also, I'd like to thank Dr. Watson, incoming President Dr. Watson and Dr. Westbrooks for all of their work over the summer with preparing the university facilities and making the university campus much more marketable, just from the standpoint of people physically coming on the ground and seeing that, hey, this is a university, hey, we cut the grass, you know, we make sure that our areas are clean. You know, the president's office doesn't have a stack of leaves that have been floating around. And again, to the people over in the facilities, thank you very much for coming in and stepping in, especially with the residence hall, with how clean it's become, and everyone in the Department of Student Services and Student Activities who have come in to make sure that the processes by which we bring in inventory controls for the residence hall and also making sure that the level is, the area is clean and acceptable to students. They've done a great job in that area.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That concludes my report.
That's quite a comment. Let me just kind of say before you leave, it's been, we're coming to the close of this meeting. But I would be remiss if I didn't join with Trustee James from another point of view. I want to point out the enormous work that has been undertaken on behalf of the administration under Dr. Westbrook's leadership during the month of June, July, and August. I believe that without a doubt, with her careful and thoughtful leadership, we have been able to stabilize and improve almost every aspect of the administration of the school. She has, I think, put in tireless hours towards that end. There have been some tough decisions that had to be made. And with, I think, fear and a little trepidation, she made them anyway. And I think that the university has benefited from it. She's tried to be in consultation with the board, and of course, to the degree that she could, given accessibility, she's tried to be in consultation with the incoming president. And in the area of finance, I think that we have been able to, with your work, Ms. Williams, together with John Meehan, and I never can remember this gentleman's name.
John Pizzetta.
Yeah. Anyway, I feel more comfortable that we have gotten a hold to what appear to be loose reins. And while we have much work to do, it seems as though I believe that we will have, for going forward, fewer audit exceptions than we've had before. But beyond that, to run a school to avoid audit exceptions is not a good thing. You have to run a school to, not to just avoid audit exceptions, but you have to run a school so that it would be efficient for the people who it's created for, and that's the students. And I think that up and down line, we can look now and see a more efficient operation. And I believe that when the incoming president gets here, I think that he will find an operation and an organization that that is running a lot better than it was in prior years. So towards for that and for the cooperation that each of you have given to me, I want to thank you.
Good morning, trustees. I have asked Ms. Wheeler to pass out to you a couple of things. One is an addendum to my report. It represents the first page. When I initially submitted the report, I did not reflect the dollar value spent in each of those categories, and so I rectified that by providing that information at this point. Secondly, you see before you a pamphlet that was prepared to outline the services available at the Student Technology and Academic Resource Help Desk, located on the first floor of this building. It's staffed by some extraordinarily enthusiastic and capable young people, and I applaud their efforts, and I think that we're really moving in the right direction with that. Those additional services aim specifically at students and to address their special technology needs. That was one of the high priorities for spending the new technology fee that was enacted at the beginning of last academic year. And you see the other types of expenditures that were made, particularly in the area of computers and related software. We spent well in excess of $400,000 just on equipment, whether it be computers or upgrading computers in computer labs, projectors for the technology-enhanced classrooms, AV equipment for media services to distribute in an ad hoc basis to support classroom activity. You can see the laundry list there, but I submit that those figures to you, and also the list of projects anticipated for 2010. Those priorities will be expanded, adjusted, modified, and in consultation with our incoming president and the other priorities of the university. But the technology fee will be dedicated to technology needs for students. Student fee, student services. The rest of the report you can read at your leisure. I have not reported to the Finance Committee in the last couple of meetings of last year, and so some of that information goes back to accomplishments during fiscal year 09. But one thing I wanted to address was a problem that surfaced after this report was prepared. On a week ago Monday, August 31st, our internet service was interrupted. It was down for a total of 24 hours, which is absolutely unconscionable. Our internet service provider is Illinois Century Network, which is a unit under Central Management Services of the state of Illinois. And for a number of reasons, we are going to be reviewing the services that they provide, reviewing and evaluating other service providers. Technology has changed in years. We've been with Illinois Century Network since 2003. Technology has advanced since that time. Their service has, on the whole, not been bad, but this last outage, to be down for 24 hours with classes just starting, was absolutely unconscionable, and it does not reflect the dedication nor the level of service that we are committed to for our students. So we will be reviewing the contract with Illinois Century Network expires December 31st. We will be soliciting competing bids, not only to assure ourselves that we're getting the best service in exchange for the money that we spend, but also looking at the bandwidth that we're purchasing. Right now we have a fractional DS3, which is only 30 megabits per second. We can expand that greatly, even for the same amount of money, based on the preliminary proposals we've received. So we're going to be looking not only at service, but also at bandwidth, so that we can be addressing the students' needs in those areas.
Looking at a service level agreement? I mean, is that part of what, is that, I mean, understanding how much uptime they will
absolutely
guarantee or whatever is, we have no guarantee in the existing contract?
Well, there is a service level agreement attached. I don't recall off the top of my head, but it's in the neighborhood of 99%, okay? But if you look at 99%, out of 100 hours, you can be down for an hour. 100 hours is only, you know, 3 days, 4 days. So you don't really, I mean, it needs to be 99.99 or something like that. And
or as well as an agreement that they will rectify the situation
within a certain amount of time. Exactly, exactly right. And those are the kinds of things that are more standard business practice today than they were in effect in 2003. So those are the kinds of, that's one very important thing that happened since the report was prepared. Other than that, I just wanted to mention that, or to highlight a couple of things beyond the student Technology and Academic Resource Center. Moving forward, we are engaging with Google to outsource our email system so that we'll be moving fully to Gmail supported student email. Gmail is another one of those ubiquitous kinds of services. And with Gmail, we will still use our same CSU email account, but we'll have a range of additional benefits, the Google applications that come along with a Gmail membership, the ability to create websites for group collaboration, or clubs, calendars and document sharing and all kinds of things that represent cloud computing at its best and most robust. So those will be launching a campaign, an awareness campaign in the next month or two to bring students up to speed so that they no longer feel like they have to go out and get an independent email account in order to have it accessible to them and have the kind of performance that they come to expect. With that, I would be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
have another comment. I would just like to say that this department has consistently shown its commitment to offering services that make life for students easier. Just a simple example of that from my own personal life. I use Google Groups for, you know, every one of my classes in order to make sure that, you know, the people within my class, if they have questions or if I have a question, I can shoot out a quick one-sentence question and they can respond to me, and then everybody else can see what that question was and post their, you know, ideas on the subject. And that makes life easier. That makes us not have to be in person in order to meet. And it's things like that that shows the university's commitment to the students' success in education. And I would like to say thank you very much to all the members of STAR and all the members of the Department of Information and Technology.
Any questions? I think that this is a matter of let's receive information. Next.
Yes. Good morning. One of the key things that we did this for the last 3 months or four was to identify all of the funding that is available through the stimulus initiative. We invite a host of them, and they provide them in a package to all our faculty to look at. And for the past 3 or 4 months, the first 3 months of the year, we've had a total of about $13.4 million in grants. 51% of that, which is about $8 million, came from federal agencies. And 41%, about $6 million, came from state agencies. The largest grant that we received, about $3.4 million, came from the state agencies, specifically the Department of Children and Family Services. If I may, Trustee Finney, Trustee Hill, and Trustee James, and Dr. Williams, I'd like to just take a few moments of your time to recognize some of these people who took the time to work with me and prepare these proposals and get this money for the university, if I may. And the names are Carol Carson Warner, Dr. Joseph Balogun, Patricia George, Justin Akujesi, Floyd Banks, Leroy Jones, Sudi Davis, Mikhail Rashidi, John Erickson, Michael Memno, Deborah Parker, Mike Earhart, Anita Ward, and Kim Cole. Specifically, I want to highlight two individuals, actually, who had worked probably the most in the grants. And these two individuals, I think they're in the audience. The first one is Dr. Justin Akujesi, who brought in about $3 million from the U.S. Department of Education to enhance graduate education at the school. Dr. Justin. And the second individual is Dr. Michael Rashid, who through the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services brought $3.3 million monies to the state. Dr. Rashidi. And that concludes my report.
Questions? Well, let us commend you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. All right. We have a supplement from the foundation. So we're going to go from the to the facilities. Facilities?
Mike.
You got a half page here.
Over these past few months, I guess we have made
concerted effort to increase our curb appeal. By that I mean that we've gone through a lot of rehabilitation of old spaces around campus. We've addressed plantings, cuttings, trimmings. We've looked at how we can improve the quality of life in the student residence, as well as to increase our overall curbside appeal campus-wide. That's an ongoing effort. That's one that we hope to sustain and continue to move forward with. And that's essentially what our main focus has been for facilities at this time here. And we will look to go into future planning for our coming fall and winter sessions, which have to be addressed, and we'll be doing that very shortly.
Questions?
Are we noticed?
Thank you.
Yes, no, definitely with the work orders submitted throughout the residence hall, not just through the work orders for the Board of Trustees room, but also previous work orders for just everyone. There's been a huge change from work orders taking 6 to 15 days to work orders being taken care of within the first hour to 15 minutes of the work order being submitted. And that is a very big step towards improving customer service, which is a big factor in some of our retention.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, are there any other matters before us?
I believe we need to go into
public comment.
We do need to go into the executive session, so we will defer public comments until after the board goes into executive session.
So that we go into executive session to discuss collective bargaining, employment matters, and legal matters.
Second.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Dr. Westbrook,
you should stay.
My name is Ashton Valentine. I just got a question because it's not getting answered. How did we get approved for UPass in the spring of 09? However, in the summer of 09, when over 50% of the student body wasn't present, it got taken away. Moreover, based on how much you all invest in athletics, you can invest a portion of that for the student body transportation.
We discussed the UPS earlier. I don't know.
I was in class. Yeah, I have to dip in and out to make the meeting.
You want to address that?
Yeah, just real quick about the UPS. This came up over the summer. It wasn't that the UPS was just taken away. We had to meet a certain deadline by which we would say we want UPass and pay for UPass. I think it was 50% that we had to pay up front. And they went to a, not a committee, but a conference about the UPass, which was on, what was it, June or July 29th? It was July 29th, I think. And then they had to make the statement that, yes, we're going to go ahead and front the 50% by like August 1st. So we didn't want to make that commitment just yet, and we're not in a position to make that commitment just yet. So the UPass had to be postponed until January 1, which is when we would have to front that money again. So during that time, we've been participating in creating, I myself created the UPass survey so that we can get a better understanding for the impact to students. As you know, a resolution has already been put forth by the board saying that we are going to go forward with the UPass, so there will be nothing that's going to stop us from having that happen unless there's another resolution put amending the resolution that was already gone forward with.
Okay, and I just have one more question.
And you may want to add that even if it is decided in January to move forward, it would not be implemented for the spring term in January.
Because it was just confusing because we got charged. I looked at it in July, because I was a summer school, I looked at it and it said $112. So then around August, before school started back, it was gone. And to the people who didn't prepare, set aside any or little to no money for transportation, that was devastating. We didn't get no notice, it was just gone one day. And I feel like we're the student body, we make the campus, we should be getting notified about every change that affects us directly. I shouldn't have to come here and say, you know, my tuition barely covers my room and board, let alone my books. Now tuition, that's was kind of disheartening.
Go ahead and said that, and I think that the ones, the individuals that were involved, Dr. Brown being one of them, embarrassed her. She did not assume the responsibility of the UPAS until Dr. Johnson left, which was July 15th. And she took it upon herself to attend that meeting in July, at which time she found out that Chicago State had not made application, had not provided the 50% that was required. So it was new information for her and for everyone else. So that's when she found out. And then when she wanted to make recommendations for what are the next steps, it was then disclosed that it would have to be done as early as January 1. Mm-hmm. And that is, if it's implemented, it would not go into effect until fall 2000.
Right, and to add on to that, there's a lot of issues with the UPass in general. Something just as simple as the fact that we're Southside campus, and we get a lot of students who come here from the South suburbs. The UPass does not cover Pace riders. So, you know, not only would you have to pay for Pace, but you would have to pay fee for the UPass. And if you drive, you know, because you have to go to work downtown on a Wednesday or something like that, you would also have to pay a parking fee. So there's other issues that are involved in this. And to make sure that we are giving the best product to the student, something that they actually want, we wanted to survey all the students, Dr. Westbrook's and Dr. Brown, and as well as Ms. Jackson, are trying to make sure we get that out as soon as possible so that we can get those numbers together and get the data together that supports whether we can actually do want to continue with the UPass.
Well, I believe it's critical that we do continue with it, mainly because, like, if you're all not going to give us the UPass, you all sell us bus cards. If that's the case, give us bus cards at a discounted rate, a discounted price. We come to you, to Chicago State, about bus cards for the same amount, we'll go to a currency exchange somewhere and pay for a bus card. If that's the issue,
Yeah, let me ask that this conversation probably needs to be carried on between Trustee James and you and Dr. Westbrook. We are way over our time limit in terms of needing to adjourn. Okay. But I do think that Dr. Westbrook will be here and Trustee James will be here, and you can pursue this further with them, okay?
Oh, I just don't want to get the same thing I've been getting since I came here, okay?
I think that you can trust Trustee James to be on top of it, okay?
And thank you, and I would like to say, I see the work that you all have been putting in on campus as far as the visibility and everything else, and I'd like to thank you all for that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
No, I have a couple of
I'm sorry.
Action items. I move that we approve the, or recommend forward to the board the collective bargaining agreement.
It's been moved, is there a second?
A second.
Trustee. Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
And I move that we approve the 457F plan as presented.
And moved. Is there a second?
I second.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Now I move that we adjourn.
Move that we adjourn?
I second.
Is that second?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
I guess I didn't expect